Thank you, Larry. May God add his blessing to the reading of the scriptures this morning, and may the words from my mouth be just exactly what each of us needs to hear. A pastor in a little southern town wanted to help his granddaughter. Her name was Dana, and he wanted to help her deal with a fear that she had. You see, in this little town, every day at noon, a siren would go off. It was installed probably a long time ago for factory workers in that town so that they would know it was time to go home for lunch. But when this siren sounded, the little girl got scared. So when little Dana visited her grandpa, the siren went off and she got very scared again. So he suggested to her that since that siren went off at noon, whenever the siren went off, that she should stand up and yell, "Go home and get your lunch." And that might help her cope with that scary thing that was happening. Well, sure enough, it worked for her. And whenever Dana heard the siren, she would yell, "Go home and get your lunch." And she forgot all about being scared. Well, one Sunday morning, Grandpa got really worked up over his sermon. And he was preaching up a storm when the noon siren went off. Dana stood up in church, turned around and faced the congregation and said, "Go home and get your lunch." And she forgot all about being scared, but the whole congregation got up and left. Now, I hope that story doesn't give you any ideas. However, if I'm still preaching at noon, feel free to stand up and say, "Go home and get your lunch." At the height of his ministry, Jesus was constantly surrounded by crowds of people. They flocked to see him everywhere he went. But there were times when I'm sure he probably wanted to yell, "Go home and get your lunch." Like the day he fed the 5,000. That had to be a stressful day. Remember, he was God, but he was also a human. He was in a human body. And this was all the time. People wanted to see him. They wanted to be near him, to touch him, and especially people who had a serious need. They might be sick or they might have some other type of need. And they would want to get as close as they could to this rabbi that they'd heard about, Jesus. In today's story, Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. And after he healed her, Mark tells us that the people brought to Jesus all their sick. So one was healed, word traveled quickly, and the whole town gathered at the door. And there they were the next morning. And while it was still dark, it says that Jesus got up, snuck away, left the house, and went off to a quiet place alone where he prayed. Simon and the others went to look for him. And when they found him, they said, "What are you doing? Everybody's looking for you." Jesus said, "It's time to move on. Let's go to the nearby villages so I can preach there too, because that's why I came." We can see that from time to time throughout the Gospels. Jesus takes a time out. He needs to get away by himself. Have you ever felt that way? You need to get away from it all. Be alone. Some solitude, some peace, some quiet, some time to just contemplate and meditate and talk to God. Well, that's what Jesus did. He needed time out so he could get up early and go off by himself. And his disciples would say, "Man, the crowds are waiting for you, Jesus." But he'd say, "This is important. I need my time to pray and to be alone." You and I need to take time out. Our lives get really crazy, chaotic. We have so much to do. So many things that we've got to do, deadlines we have to meet. And if we're not careful, we can really kind of lose our soul. Taking time out is an important part of life. Even Jesus did it. It's amazing when you consider what we know about Jesus. Only begotten. He was the Son of God. He was God. Yet he was in a human body and he needed time to rest and to be alone. And he needed time for prayer. He knew and understood the power of prayer. And he wanted to be an he was an example for us. He was showing us when he did these, when he took time away, that that's what we ought to do also. There is a story that comes out of World War II. After the Battle of the Bulge, a German officer was describing the capture of an American unit early in the fighting. And the soldiers there that were captured had a box that had been shipped to them, and there was a cake in this box. What was unusual about the cake is that it had been sent to one of the American soldiers from Boston, and it was still fresh, in good shape, good to eat. This German officer described how he felt when he realized that the Americans had the resources to actually fly over these cakes from home, even in the middle of a world war. And he said, after the war was over, that he knew then that they would never defeat an enemy who had resources like that. You and I have a resource to help us in life's daily battles if we just make room for it, take time for it. It's our time alone with God. It's one-on-one communication with our Creator. We human creatures are very strange. We will believe almost anything except what millions of people have believed and rested their lives on over the past 2,000 plus years, that the God of all universe is available to talk to through prayer. There's something called SETI, the SETI Project. The SETI is an acronym for Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Since the late 1960s, we've spent hundreds of millions of dollars sending messages out into the universe with one purpose, the purpose of discovering whether there is any other intelligent life out there. And there has not been one response since the 1960s, not one. Yet you and I this morning, right now, can kneel down anywhere in this world, and we can communicate with the God who created that universe and everything that's in it. Why in the world don't we make use of this resource, this amazing resource, more often? Anyone who wants to make a difference in the world needs to take time for prayer. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China. He touched the lives of millions of people. When he was traveling in northern China by cart and by wheelbarrow, he would sleep in the poorest places. It was not easy for him to take time for prayer and Bible study, but he knew how important these things were. And the people he traveled with testified afterward that after everybody had quieted down at night, wherever they might be, they might be sleeping in tents, they might be outside, but wherever they are, they would hear a match strike very, very late in the night, and they would see the flame of a candlelight. And they said that when they saw that, they knew that Hudson Taylor was reading his Bible. It was his habit to spend from 2 to 4 a.m. reading his scriptures and praying. A biographer who wrote a book about him wrote that Hudson Taylor considered finding time to spend with God the hardest part of his work, but also the most important part of his work. It's so easy, isn't it, to neglect the important things in our life. We get so busy. If Jesus needed time for prayer, time to focus on his main mission, we can understand that we also need that. So many people he met needed healing, needed a doctor. Think of How many people are on our prayer list? And yet, people in Jesus' times were not nearly as fortunate as we are. We have, in those days, a simple infection would often end in death. Many of the diseases of Jesus' time are gone. They've been dealt with. They're unheard of. We are so lucky that we live during a time when doctors can do so much for us. We can't imagine a world without the advantages of modern medicine. Of course, doctors are human beings too, and not all of them have the patient's best interests at heart. There was a Massachusetts doctor, a graduate of Harvard Medical School, who had his medical license suspended. Guess what he did? He left a patient on the operating table in the middle of a surgery. He was doing a spinal surgery on this patient, and he just left the room and left the hospital. It seems that this orthopedic surgeon needed to deposit a check in his bank. And so he left the patient on the table for 35 minutes, went to the bank, came back to the operating room, and finished the surgery a few hours later. Not every doctor has the welfare of their patient at heart. Jesus did. His heart went out to all the sick, all the hurting people who came to him for help. But healing people's physical bodies was not his main purpose. We need to understand that if healing people's bodies was Jesus' main reason for coming into this world, he could have set up a clinic in downtown Jerusalem and said, line them up and bring them in. It would have been flooded with people who were sick day and night, but it would never have been possible for him to see all of those people and to heal them. Jesus' plan was much bigger. Hear me out. Listen to this. We need to understand this. He had a bigger plan. His plan was to touch the lives of a few men and women who, on the day of Pentecost, would be filled with the Holy Spirit and would change into a mighty spiritual army called the Church of Jesus Christ. And over the centuries, this spiritual army would build tens of thousands of hospitals and schools and all sorts of charitable institutions all over the world, and millions of people would be touched by the ministry of Jesus through his church. His followers would heal many millions more people than he could have ever possibly done in his entire lifetime. His plans were much bigger. It was his plan from the beginning. That's why he needed time out from his healing ministry. He needed to spend time with his father and refocus his ministry. Jesus said to his disciples who came to find him, let's go somewhere else. And that's why he came. And that's what he did. Let me tell you a little story first. How to find time. How to take time out to connect with God. To reflect on our lives. How do we do this? Well, here's a suggestion. In 1959, a woman named Catherine Marshall, who was a widow and was newly remarried and trying to raise 3 stepchildren, with a lot to pray about, she and her husband, Len, just couldn't seem to find the time to pray. So they started what they called the coffee pot experiment. They would wake up to the smell of coffee every morning. That would, at that point, they felt sleepy yet peaceful, and they thought, what a perfect time for us to pray. Let's use this time to pray. Then they said peace stayed with them all day. They decided that the best time for prayer is not found. Get this. The best time for prayer is not found. It is made. You have to make time. Say, this is when I'm going to do it. And then try to stick to that. You'll never find time for prayer and reflection and meditation. Do what Jesus did. Make time. The coffee pot experiment sounds like a great idea. There's an author named E. Stanley Jones who put it like this: in the pure, strong hours of the morning, when the soul of the day is at its best, lean upon the windowsill of the Lord and look into his face and get orders for the day. Then go out into the world with a sense of God's hand upon your shoulder. What a beautiful picture. Spend time with God and then imagine him walking beside you with his hand on your shoulder all day long. If Jesus needed to spend time in prayer and reflection, how much more do you and I need to do the same? If he needed to call time out in order to refocus his ministry, how much more we need to reflect on our lives and rearrange our priorities. Catherine Marshall was exactly right when she said, we'll never find time. We have to make time. Now I realize it's almost time for somebody to stand up and yell, go home and get your lunch. But don't forget this message. Take time to pray. It's an invaluable resource that is available to all of us. Every day, let's take time out to talk to God. Let God help us decide what things are most important in our lives, where our priorities are, and let God help us to set our goals even for that day. Amen.